Blog Talk Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Dynamic Dojo Radio Show with Rosita and Robert. I'm Rosita De Jesus, and I'm joined by my brother in the martial arts, Sifu Robert Deal. Sifu Robert, how are you this evening? What's going on?
Well, actually, Sifu, I'm not doing too well. I've been bedridden today, hot flashes, cold flashes. I've been afraid if I go inside, I can cause it to rain.
Well, I'm glad to hear that your sense of humor is still around, because when I get sick like that, I don't think anything's funny when I get sick like that. Neither do I make jokes. And it's funny that you should mention that, because about 10 minutes before airtime, I had this incredible sneezing fit, and I still feel like I have to sneeze. And it wasn't just one of those, oh, I'm going to sneeze once, and then, you know, a minute later I'm going to sneeze. It was like one right after the other. And I don't know what's going on. Maybe I'm allergic to radio. I don't know. I have no idea what's going on. So for our listening audience, again, you've just tuned in to the Dynamic Dojo Radio Show. Our phone number here is 347-677-0699. We've got two wonderful, incredible guests with us tonight. So if any of our listeners have any questions or would like to speak to our guests, please call in 347-677-0699. And with that said, I'm going to turn it over to you, Sifu Bob, to introduce our special guests for the evening.
Well, you know, it's funny, Sifu, that Sifu Doug and Sifu Carrie and I don't really know each other on a personal level, but our paths have definitely crossed over the last 30 years. It is
awesome.
My great pleasure to introduce Sifu Kerry Wong and Sifu Doug Wong, and we're going to be on a first-name basis with Sifu, of course, in front of it, because if I just call out Sifu Wong, we're going to have a lot of confusion.
Okay, good evening.
Thank you for joining us.
Let's welcome the Wongs to the show.
Welcome.
Thank you very much for having us.
Yay, we're so glad you could join us. 347-677-0699. What we're going to do is we introduced you at the beginning of the show as opposed to the start of the interview, which is a little bit later, because Robert and I really enjoy having our guests kind of be like co-hosts for the first 20 to 30 minutes of the show as we go over health news and weird news. You don't have to worry about anything. All you have to do is comment, laugh when you'd like to, and place any other comments that you'd like to put in there, and we'll have a great time. So, Sifu Robert, before we get to the health news and the weird news and the trivia of the week, let's just do a couple shout-outs on our Dynamic Dojo Radio Show Facebook page. Normally, all of our listeners out there, and this is a call to the listeners out there, if you have any events or shout-outs or tournaments or seminars coming up, feel free to post it on the Dynamic Dojo Radio Show Facebook page, and we will make it a point to announce those events on the next radio show. So I just want to start off with one shout-out, and the shout-out goes to the Doce Pares headquarters in Cebu City, Philippines. It is their 81st anniversary. And I heard about an anniversary celebration that was going on at Supreme Grand Master Kakoy Kenyete's headquarters yesterday, I believe. I don't remember what the time difference is, but I got the message yesterday, I think, about the 81st anniversary of Doce Pares as a club. The Doce Pares headquarters was founded in 1932, and as of this year, 2013, it will be 81 years. This makes like one of the oldest clubs, if not the oldest martial arts clubs in the Philippines. or in Southeast Asia. So congratulations to Supreme Grandmaster Kakwe Kenyette, Grandmaster Dionisio Kenyette, and all of the Kenyette clan over there. Thank you very much on behalf of Seattle Filipino Martial Arts Academy for bringing the art of Doce Pares to the world, and we congratulate you on the 81st anniversary. So, yay!
Very cool.
Yeah. Yay.
Congratulations, congrats. Definitely.
Yeah. 81 years. Oh, my goodness. That's awesome.
That's amazing.
It is.
That's older than me.
I know. So, yeah, I was like, oh, my goodness, you know. It's like, let's see, it's me and Bob put together. That's older than us.
Right. Wait. Well, older than me.
Older. And I think you had a shout-out, too, didn't you, Sifu Bob?
Yeah, I have actually a couple now.
Awesome.
Independent Warriors Association is having a clinic, a gathering training clinic for anybody 13 years and older, mm-hmm. Friday and Saturday, May 3rd and 4th. Cost is $25 for the clinic and $25 for the banquet. It's located at the West Coast Martial Arts on the Move, 1093 South Virginia Street, Reno, Nevada. That's it. That's all it says.
Oh, no. No zip code.
Well,
I guess it's Reno.
Right. Reno, Nevada. I think Reno may have just one zip code.
Yeah.
But check it out on our Facebook page. Most of the names that will be instructing, I can't really pronounce, and I don't want to embarrass myself by trying to. And that's it. But there is one more shout-out. I want Sifu Doug to take this one over because he's going to be doing a seminar in Guadalajara next month, and we really couldn't get the gist of it because the flyer that you posted was in Spanish.
The 23rd of February.
No, that's actually
that's
the
as we
second
got.
And no, this is actually the 2nd and 3rd of February. It's a two-day seminar.
Oh, I
yeah.
see. See,
you
I,
know, people, I wanted to correct you, but I didn't have a flyer in front of me. I thought you screwed it up.
Yeah, you know, I think I did. Because what I
the Spanish isn't too good either.
What I saw when I read it, because it was really small and I couldn't blow it up, I saw
right.
2 and 3, right? And it said like 2 and then a Y and then 3. And I'm like, well, that's weird. Why didn't they put like, you know, I thought it was, you know, 23 as opposed to. Dos y tres de febrero, not Filipino, febrero. And I'm like, it's got to be the 23rd. And then I looked at the flyer again today and I went, whoop. So,
nice.
Doug, can you tell us a little bit about your upcoming seminar next month in Guadalajara?
Yeah, I've been going down there for the last year and a half teaching various areas in Mexico, down in Tijuana, have people from Rosa Rita, Mexicali, and now in Guadalajara. So they took me over there last year, and we had over 100 people show up, so we expect to have more this year.
Wow.
And what I've been doing is teaching more of my White Lotus system,
mm-hmm.
But this time we're getting more into that, the fighting aspect, but also into the healing aspect. So they got interested into what's called massaging, bone setting, that type of thing like that. But I had a bunch of people that was injured down there. I was wondering why their arm was hurting, his hand was wrist, and all, they were all wrapped up. I said, what's happening here? They said, well, we heard it during training. So I said, well, come over here. Let me try to fix it for you. So I had about 40 people lined up, and I was just doing my stuff there. So
that's
this
all
time
very
we
cool.
want to learn about the healing, about the body, how to realign everything, you know, so, you know, especially all the martial art type injuries.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm going
now,
down there.
Sifu Cherry, do you travel with Sifu Doug?
I haven't had the chance yet.
Not yet. Well, I'm spearheading it, so I'm hopefully by the end of this year or next year I'll be able to take her with me, or I'll just send her by herself.
Someone has to stay at home and take care of the studio.
That's true.
That's my job.
Yeah, somebody got to stay in work. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, it's going to be a two-day intense training that we'll be doing down there. And I have my interpreters go with me, of course, because I don't speak the language. But they are very good interpreters. They explain everything in detail for me. But, you know, the Spanish language is different, you know, especially when you go into a martial art terminology. Since they've been in it for a while, they understand exactly what I want to convey to the people.
That's awesome.
Got it. That is awesome.
Very cool. So for our listeners out there, if you're anywhere near Guadalajara, or if you're in Guadalajara and you want to check out the White Lotus System, check out our Dynamic Dojo Facebook page, and we've got a link, I think. Yeah, we have a – you have to scroll down a little bit, but the link is there. I'll go ahead and click on it to bring it back up to the top, so that way all our listeners can have more information about that workshop. Awesome. All right. Well, let's go ahead and go into our health news. I wanted to pick something that was relatively short because Robert and I want to have as much time with Sifu Doug and Sifu Carrie as possible this evening. Now, this isn't so much health news that I want to present as it is more of a video, and I just posted it on the Dynamic Dojo page on Facebook, and it's an exercise. And I know that there are martial arts instructors out there that have probably already have done this exercise in their own dojos or their kuns or their studios, but I wanted to post it so that way anyone else that hasn't heard about it can give it a shot. However, on this particular film that I got off of, if I remember correctly, I think it was on MSN.com, it was touted more as a travel exercise. And this is called the Deck of Cards workout. And again, the video is on our Dynamic Dojo Facebook page. And to put it in a nutshell, what you do is you just take a regular deck of cards, take the jokers out, and you assign each of the suits a specific category of exercises. So, for example, you could do hearts as like maybe being kicks, like roundhouse kick, front kick, whatever kick you want to do. Clubs could be burpees or push-ups or whatever. Spades could be jumping jacks, and diamonds could be, skaters. That's the only thing that came to mind. But you have each of these four suits that are assigned a category. And then you just set your deck of cards on the table face down, and you pick a card. And whatever suit you pick is the category of the exercise, and the number on there is how many you do. Now, I wondered about this because I thought, well, what if I pick a two of spades? That's only two jumping jacks. But you have 52 cards, so, you know, it works. Now, of course, the numbered cards are at their face value, but if you get to the picture cards, you can assign, you know, a jack being an 11 and a queen being 12 and a king being 13 if you want to do that. Or you can even just take the picture cards out and just go by the numerical values on the cards. And it's touted as a great workout. The idea is to get through all 52 cards in less than an hour. So,
wow.
I know, right? 52 cards.
My luck, I would draw all the 10s and 9s in the beginning and be dead.
I know.
It would take me 3 days to go through the deck.
Yeah, take those face cards out.
I know, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I thought, you know, like with kicks, you know, I used to do this with my Mighty Mites class at my school, but I'd take out the picture cards, of course, and I'd say, okay, whatever number we draw, no matter what the suit, that's how many front kicks we're going to do, you know, and it never fails. All the kids would draw all the tens right off the bat. No matter how I shuffled those dang cards, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, at least that leaves, like, all the lesser numbers. But, you know, but if I gave those Mighty Mites the opportunity to choose the exercises, there was always two kids that wanted to do push-ups. So, you know, oh, 10, okay, 10. Oh, here's another 10, okay, 10. We were love it. But, yeah. So you can do like the whole deck in less than an hour, half the deck in about 30 minutes, or a quarter of the deck in 15 minutes. It's touted as, you know, the cheapest exercise program you can do because you don't have to buy any weights. You just have to bring a deck of cards with you. So very good in your hotel room, assuming you've got enough room to do whatever you need to do. So I guess no sword play No swordplay thrusts, you know, no butterfly kicks or anything like that. So, oh, way. All right, so that video is on a dynamic Facebook page. So let's bring it on over to Bob's Weird News. And, oh, wait, I forgot the intro here, Bob. Here we go.
Weird News.
Woohoo! Yay! Woo spooky!
Oh, very nice.
I need to do a different for that.
This is a little strange. It goes, you know, and I almost pulled it because we agreed: no politics, no religion.
Right.
I saw this one and I couldn't help it. The Illinois Times has published a strange 911 call placed by an Illinois pastor, Father Tom Donovan, on November 28th. Who was apparently tied up in a pair of handcuffs at let me see if I can get this right, Aloysius Church. Now, this is how the 911 call began. Donovan: "Hi there, I'm stuck in a pair of handcuffs. I'm going to need help getting out before this becomes a medical emergency." Then the dispatch says, "What's the problem?" And Donovan says, "I'm stuck in a pair of handcuffs." Then the dispatch says, "You're stuck in a pair of handcuffs?" And Donovan says, "Yes." It's not clear how Donovan ended up in the handcuffs, aside from that he was playing with them.
Yeah, sure.
Because it's really funny. This was just before Christmas, and he was asked, out of the blue, to take a leave of absence.
Oh. Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds a little weird. That's well, I guess it's why it's in weird news, but that sounds a little fishy. It does.
That is. Now, this week we're going to move right on to weird laws. These are all from Florida.
Weird laws from Florida. Awesome.
It is illegal for an unmarried woman to parachute on Sunday, and if she does, she risks arrest, fines, and jail.
Wow.
Like, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
But it must be good for a married woman to do it.
Yeah.
That must be okay. In Miami, it is prohibitive for a person to irritate an animal, which makes sense because, you know, there's a lot of alligators in Miami, so it would probably be pretty stupid, too.
Oh, gosh. That's awesome.
This one needs to be down here in some of our alternative communities.
Okay.
In Miami, it is illegal for a man to wear any kind of strapless gown.
Well, that sucks.
Just strapless, huh?
But if they wore a strap, is that okay?
Yeah. Or a two-piece ensemble.
Right. It is illegal in the state of Florida to skateboard without a license. I didn't even know any states had skateboard
Whoa.
Licenses.
Whoa.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I've got some friends that are from Florida, so, you know, if you're listening to this, you guys, give us a call. I'm serious. I want to know if you need a license to operate a skateboard or a bicycle. Now, I remember here in Seattle, you had to have a license for your bicycle, right? But I don't think we needed to have a license.
Operate it.
But, you know, Florida friends, call us, 347-677-0699. We want to know about that. I'm curious. Okay.
You know, in California, years ago, you did have to license your bicycle.
The bicycle.
It actually had a metal tag on it.
Yeah, we had these little stickers. And if a cop caught you and the sticker wasn't on there or if it had worn off in a way that it couldn't be legible, then you could get a fine. And back then it was like $20 or something like that. But that was in the 70s. That was expensive.
It was. Now,
I dated myself
Sarasota,
again.
Yes, you did. And we're going to date ourselves a lot more by the time the show's over. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
In Sarasota, Florida, it is illegal to sing while wearing a bathing suit.
Hmm.
Now, with that said, my daughter in Sarasota would be totally screwed because in her high school, she's not only a member of the choir, she's also a member of the swim team.
Swim team.
So how would that work?
Do they have beaches there? I mean, it's Florida. I mean, Sarasota, isn't that like a coastal? Wait, I don't know where Sarasota is in relation to anywhere else, but isn't that like coastal? Or is it more inland?
Well, and do you know, if my daughter heard me say that, do you know the kind of grief I'm going to get after the show?
Oh, that,
you're in trouble.
A lot.
You mean that you were on, that she's on the swim team and then she's in choir? Those are cool things to be in, actually.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
One last one.
Okay.
This is funny because most guys would just, we'd end up going to jail getting tickets written on this one. You may not fart in a public place after 6 p.m. on Thursday.
Well, that sucks.
That eliminates a lot of old people.
So how is that enforced? That's what I want to
know. Yeah, because when it happens to me and my wife's around, I always blame it on somebody else.
Do they have officers for that?
Usually it's my dog.
There should be a license for that. Not the bicycle. There should be a license for farting after 6. On Thursdays. What's with the days?
Yeah, how specific is that? Thursdays after 6.
Oh, my.
Maybe
oh
that special all-you-can-eat buffet.
Yeah, there you go. Taco Tuesday. Oh, wait, that's Taco Tuesday.
Yeah, like Taco Tuesday.
Yeah, maybe it's like, you know,
Buffet Thursday.
Yeah. No guest Thursday. That's awesome. Well, that was Robert's
that
weird
was
news.
Weird laws.
Yeah, that was weird laws and weird news. That's awesome. I always love that segment. Now, before we get to the trivia of the week, I want to do one more shout out via Facebook. I want to give a shout out to Hanshi Daniel Vena because he's got another Blog Talk Radio show that, in fact, is going to be happening right when we get off the air. He's on every day, if I remember correctly. Am I right, Bob? He's on every night.
Yes, yes.
For
he's on
30
every
minutes.
Every single night.
Every single night of 8 p.m. Pacific and 11 Eastern Standard Time. And he's got a great show. And if you have anything that you want to promote, like an event, a seminar, anything, call up his show. In fact, you can just go to Blog Talk Radio and look up Daniel Vena, V-E-N-A, Martial Arts Talk. And it's a great show. I'm going to be trying to tune in right when we get offline here and listen a little bit. So shout out to Hanshi Daniel Vena. All right. So let's go to our trivia of the week. And for those of our listeners that aren't familiar with our trivia of the week, every week we have a trivia question. And the first correct answer that calls in at 347-677-0699, if you're the first correct answer, you win the opportunity to be a guest co-host with me and Sifu Robert on the Dynamic Dojo Show in on an upcoming episode. But you have to be the first correct answer that calls in. Now, of course, if you don't call in during the live broadcast, I'll try to stifle any crying of disappointment. But I'll go ahead. It's never like that. Usually once you get off the air, I just call Bob and go, darn it, no one called. What's up? And then I put it on the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page. And then we get everyone typing in, and I'm like, why doesn't anyone call us? Pick up the phone. It's free, especially if you call from Skype. So here is our trivia question of the week. The question is, who founded the Matsubayashi School of Shorin-ryu Karate? I'll repeat that again. Who founded the Matsubayashi School of Shorin-ryu Karate? So this is our first actual martial arts question, actually. No, I take that back. We had one last week. All our other questions have been general trivia. But who founded the Matsubayashi School of Shorin-ryu Karate? first correct answer at 347-677-0699 gets to be a co-host with me and Sifu Bob. So that's it for our weird news, for our health and fitness news, and our trivia of the week. So before we get to the interview with Master Doug Wong and Master Kerry Wong, I'd like to take a very quick PSA break to get a quick word from the Ad Council, and then we'll be right back.
Packers.
Vikings.
Red State.
Blue State.
We come from different places.
Uptown.
Downtown.
We come to different conclusions.
Half empty.
Half full.
But no matter how different we are, we're all connected, and we can all make a difference. That's why United Way brings people, expertise, and resources together to improve the education, income, and health of our communities, the building blocks for a better life. When we live united, our efforts, magnified by others, add up to real change. Children succeed in school, families gain financial stability, the health of our neighbors improves, and suddenly, so do our communities. But real change won't happen without you.
Live united.
So let's look beyond our differences.
Live united.
One by one, let's make a difference. Let's reach out a hand to one and influence the condition of all.
Live united.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Sign up today at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, Jamie Lee Curtis here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. What should you do to stop a friend from driving if they've been drinking? Answer, whatever it takes. Think before you drink. Designate before you celebrate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council. Yeah!
And now, on with the show.
All right, and we are back. This is the Dynamic Dojo Show with Rashida and Robert. And our special guests tonight are Sifu Douglas Wong and Sifu Kerry Wong. So
Can I say a couple things, Sifu?
What's that?
Can I say a couple things before we start?
You bet.
Well, every time I see Sifu Doug and Sifu Kerry, it seems that I need to show how old I am. You know, I can remember back in the day, I saw Sifu Doug demo at Top My Wong's tournament in the late 80s in San Francisco. I saw Sifu Kerry. Now, it's a Marriott now, but she performed, she demoed at the Burbank Hilton, as well as her son did, performed a knife demo at the age of 6. Now, he's a big stuntman, graduated college. Now, Sifu Kerry, how old is Travis now?
Travis turned 27 in December.
Wow.
So this was like 22 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was really funny. To show you the ego that Sifu Kerry has, which is none, I saw her at a tournament, the OC Open, about a year and a half ago, and she wasn't centered, judged. And I walked up to her afterwards, introduced myself, and said, why weren't you centered, judged? Because my thing was, the kid, and I call him a kid, that was centered, judged, wasn't even thought of when you started in the martial arts. And she looked me in the face and she said, I don't know the style as well as he does. I had to respect that.
Wow.
Well, thank you.
That's awesome.
So, on with the show.
Yes, on with the show. We're really happy to have you both on the show. And I was going to say something, too, about the late 80s, because I remember those Inside Kung Fu magazine covers. I remember seeing photos and film clips of both of you, and I was out of my teens, I think. I'm trying to remember how old I was back then. That's really going to date all of us, I think.
Oh, you were a youngster if you were out of your teens.
Yeah, I was just out of my teens, so yeah, I'm a youngster. But
yeah, I keep thinking that.
Aw, shut up. But there came this point. You know, I think most martial artists, you know, have, you know, one little point. There came this point where I wanted to quit martial arts. I felt like I had hit a dead end. And out of the martial artists that kept moving me forward, you two were two of them. you know, well, especially Carrie, because, you know, a woman in martial arts, a strong woman, successful in the martial arts. And I'm like, okay, that's it. I'm going to keep going. You know? So thank you both very much for
it's pretty hard being a female in the martial arts, mm-hmm. in the martial arts. But, you know, when you do see someone, because I remember, you know, back in the day, and I'm going to date myself, but it was Malaya Dukauskas.
Yep, yep.
She was the woman that I watched, and that was mm-hmm. the one I, you know, dreamed someday that I'd be up there on stage at the Internationals because of her.
Yeah, yeah. And when I started studying Kaji Kembo, Malaya was one of my inspirations, and as well as Cynthia Rothrock, Graciela Casillas, Cheryl Wheeler, the whole nine yards. And it is, it is tough. And both of you were really big inspirations, because back then I was still doing karate, but I really wanted to do kung fu. Oh, and you know, both of your exposure in the magazines really, I think, was one of many things that brought kung fu to the forefront back then. Because back then there was a lot of karate, taekwondo, and ninjutsu in the 80s. So yeah. So thank you very much.
Well, my start was in karate, and the only way I even got into kung fu was inside kung fu.
Oh.
That's where I saw my first articles of Master Douglas Wong, and I was mesmerized. I have to boost his ego a little bit tonight.
Very cool.
That's awesome.
Well, basically, that's where I heard all about kung fu and all these animal styles and all these weapons. And, you know, I was stuck in a karate dojo, and I thought what I had was great, except that I was getting really bored. So, yeah,
right.
Those articles.
That's awesome. So you went from karate right into the White Lotus system, or...
Basically, I had a couple years of karate. Originally, I'm from Idaho, so there's not a whole lot of martial arts in Idaho. And no, it's not Iowa or. But you know, we had a good instructor. He did as good as he could for there, and met a lot of really nice people and real dedicated. That's the thing. When there's not much there, there's a lot of dedication. Mm-hmm. And we worked out a lot. We tried to network and search out, you know, articles and books and anything we could of other arts. And mm-hmm. so after seeing the articles in Inside Kung Fu, then a friend wanted to come to L.A. to visit Sifu Wong School, so that's what we did. We actually came down to go to the Internationals and then try to go by his school if it was open or if we could get a hold of him.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest is history. After that, I eventually moved to L.A. to study.
Right on.
Yeah.
That's dedication.
Pretty crazy, isn't it?
I mean, not very many people will say, oh, you know what, I'm going to pick up and move to a different state.
I know, just to do martial arts, too,
uh-huh.
But at the time, you know, it was like you're young and there's really no ties.
Yeah, yeah.
There wasn't like, you know, I had a family and I had kids and all that, so, mm-hmm. you know, it was perfect time, and it was just one of those things that happened, so it all worked out.
Right on. That's awesome.
Yep. I right started on. Out in judo, you know, back in the days, and different styles of karate. I went to Tangsudo style before
mm-hmm.
Taekwondo got popular,
mm-hmm.
and Shotokan, Goju, Okinawan, and Japanese style, you know, so I went to a lot of the Japanese arts and Okinawan arts because Kung Fu was not open at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was not until years later that I was able to get in under Grandmaster Art Wong. Even though my name was Wong, even in Chinese Association, if you didn't come from the right village, I couldn't even learn the kung fu from them.
Oh.
So you know, but it's prejudice against you know, Chinese, you know.
Right,
so
right.
It's bad. So, yeah, it was not until later on that I was able to get in there to study under Grandmaster Art Wong that I got involved with kung fu. But, you know, I had many dealings with Japanese, Chinese, Korean arts, everything. You know, there's just many, many different styles. So, I eventually just ended up still doing a lot of kung fu during different styles. But, I love all the arts. I have respect for all the arts.
Awesome. Now, can you tell our listeners, Master Doug, that I'm sure the listeners out there have heard of White Lotus Kung Fu. And at your studio, you teach the modern White Lotus. Can you explain to our listeners what the difference is, if any?
See, contemporary White Lotus, that's what I call it, is modern day. Because back in the old days, they do have the older system of White Lotus, which is part of the triads the gangs or the things back in the Boxer Revolution. So, I mean, they did a lot of killing, murders, and different things like this. So I tried to get away from that name. So what happened, what came up with the name was a group of my students at the time with me, I was trying to get away from the name of the styles I was practicing, like the White Animal, Five Animal, the Five Family style, Yao Kung Mung, all these different styles. I said, but I wasn't practicing all just particularly that one particular style, so I blended it all together. So they came up with the name White Lotus. You know, we had Yellow Lotus, Red Lotus, and everything else, and we ended up voting on White Lotus. So that's how that name came about.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
So, but the system itself is combined with all the various systems that I did study. And what happened was some teachers didn't teach certain aspect of the art. One teacher didn't teach the lion dancing. One teacher didn't teach the medical aspect behind it. One didn't teach the meditation. So when people come to my studio, we have a whole complete art. So it's everything from, like I tell them, the study of life from the day you're born to the day you die. So that's what we have here.
Awesome. Very cool. Awesome, awesome. Sifu Robert, do you have any questions?
Well, I know, Sifu Carrie,
yes.
I've seen you perform, and you've had a lot of acrobatics. Was that all from the White Lotus system, or do you have a wuxi background as well?
Actually, I had the pleasure of studying with Anthony Chan and Roger Tung. They were two of the pioneers of wushu before it got where it is today. And I met them because going to the internationals and meeting all the different kung fu practitioners, this was back before Anthony Chan even did wushu. I had met him, and then when he started going to China and coming back and doing workshops and introducing it, I asked if I could attend, and so I did study wushu for a couple years, but I didn't want to give up, you know, doing what I was doing at the time. I wanted to just incorporate what they were teaching me with what I already had. So, and I danced for a number of years, so that also helped.
Oh, very cool. Now, I know you studied internal arts as well with the great master Wen Mei Yu here in Burbank.
Absolutely.
Well.
Yes, I started studying Tai Chi with her around 1990, 1991, and got a teaching certificate from her and have been teaching at our studio ever since. And then same time, about 3 years ago, I was hired at the Lee Strasberg's Institute, which is the Acting Academy at the Los Angeles branch. I teach a Tai Chi class there as part of their program, and it's kind of an elective program, but it's been very successful. And at the present time, I'm teaching at the Nikkei Senior Center, which is a senior assisted living center that was built in the San Fernando Valley by the Japanese Community Center. And I volunteer once a week to go in and teach as many of the seniors that want to try Tai Chi. In fact, it was their suggestion that Tai Chi be added to their program. They had some exercise by video, and from what I understand, they were getting really bored and they didn't like it. And a few of the residents had done Tai Chi years and years ago before they, you know, ended up in wheelchairs or just not being able to move around as much. So they had said, you know, why can't we find a Tai Chi instructor? So the director and I knew each other. Our girls play basketball together. So he called one day and asked if I would come down, take a look at the facility, meet with him, and see if I could put together some kind of program that would allow any of the residents to participate. So it'll be going on a year that I've been doing that as well with the internal.
Awesome. Awesome.
That is so cool.
That is. Go ahead, Bob.
Go ahead.
I was going to say we have a caller.
Great. Let's take it.
Yeah. So we've got a caller from area code 717. Area code 717, welcome to the Dynamic Dojo.
Hello, Sifu Rastita and Sifu Sensei Robert. This is Alan Woodman.
It did sound like Alan Woodman.
Yeah, how you doing?
How you doing? And hello to Master Kerry Ogawa Wong.
Hi, how are you?
And is Master Doug Wong there as well?
I'm right here, Alan.
He's
how
here.
You doing? How
hey, brother. How you doing?
Good, good, good.
I'm a little disappointed you didn't come on my radio show first.
I know. I was going to, but I was so booked already, you know. And I will make you. I will definitely be on there soon. Definitely, I promise.
I'm happy. Rastita and Robert have a fantastic show. They do a great thing, and I'm fully support whatever they're doing. And they're great guys as well as. Master Wong and Master Kerry, you guys are fantastic. It was great seeing you at the History Museum last month.
Right.
Very nice seeing you. Thank you.
At the Book Fest, thank you guys very much. I just called in to say hello, and I wish you all the luck, and anything I can do to help and support you guys, please, you know, let me know, and I'm 100% behind you guys, yeah?
Oh, I appreciate
thank
that.
Thank you,
Gian. Yeah, yep.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we'll definitely get on your show next. We'll be there. I'll give you a buzz. We'll set it up.
I'll get you both up because, you know, I didn't know y'all was tag teaming now. That's good. That's all right. Yeah. I'm sorry. But,
no problem. No problem.
to Sensei Deal and Sifu Rastita, I wanted to say, first of all, thank you very much for sending me your guys' your embed code. I wanted to let you know that WorldwideDojo.com, Dana Stamos, has already done an entire page for the entertainment section on the website, and your show widget is actually now listed on there, and all of your listeners can go to www.WorldwideDojo.com to the entertainment section and listen directly to your show as well as previous shows that are archived there. And to just click and play, and you don't have to download anything. It just plays right there, so they can listen to every show right there.
Wow.
Great.
Very
awesome.
Cool. Thank you, Shihan.
Very cool. Thank you so much, Shihan. And I'm going to do a shameless plug for Shihan while he's still here. So for all of our listeners, if you want to add a really great show to your martial arts podcast playlist, add Sidekick Talk Radio. Just to go a little bit off subject, Shihan Allen, can you tell our listeners what day and time that your show's on? It's twice a week, correct?
Yes, ma'am, it is. We do Sundays at 6 o'clock. We were on just about an hour before you guys started. Sidekick Talk Radio, Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, by the way. We're on the East Coast. And Wednesdays at 12 noon. So for you California people, I know that's Doug and Kerry over there. Listen, that's 9 a.m. Wednesday morning and 3 p.m. Sunday afternoon on the West Coast.
Okay. Awesome.
And you guys can always link us there. And, of course, you know, go to worldwidedojo.com, and you can find the link directly right there. We're on the homepage. Sidekick Talk Radio is actually on the homepage or on the right-hand side sidebar. You can just click and play all of our shows there. But now we're also included with Dynamic Dojo and Modern Combat Warriors. Daryl Sargent was on our show as well this evening.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, and Hanshi Dan Vena with the Martial Arts Talk Radio show as well was on the show. And all of those shows, all of these shows are actually going to be on WorldwideDojo.com in one place. So you can just listen to just hours and hours and days and weeks of Martial Arts Talk Radio.
Sweet. Awesome.
Including this show. Including this show.
Including
great.
This show.
That's right. So I just wanted to send a shout out to you guys. I didn't mean to interrupt your show. I just, again, wanted to wish you guys all well, give your listeners that little bit of news as well as yourselves. And I'll be contacting you later, Doug. I'm telling you, show better be next. My show better be next.
We'll make sure they get on there next.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, when I asked
Sifu Doug and Sifu Jerry, I knew I only had this small little tiny window to get them on because Sifu Doug is going to Hawaii and then he's going to Mexico. So it was a very small window that I knew he might have open.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Always
awesome.
Busy somewhere.
Really. Now, Sifu Doug, you've trained some very notable actors, Jason Zatlee, Kevin Sorbo, Lindsay Lawless, Gina Torres, Ryan Gosling. Now, I know you had trained Kevin Sorbo and Lindsay Lawless right around the time of Hercules and Lucy's show. Did all those celebrities, did you train them for certain parts?
No, they didn't have any type of training. Universal Studio contacted me. And I went down there, took Carrie with me. It was for Renaissance Picture. That was a part of Universal Studios. And they asked us to train these people in a certain aspect of fighting. I said, well, what you want, gladiator-type fighting or whatever? So no, not that. And they pulled out this video of all the kung fu fight scenes.
Uh-huh.
And they said, this is what we want. We want something different. I said, well, you're right. My alley right here is kung fu. No problem. So, you know, like I always try to separate the kung fu. There's the Jackie Chan style and there's the Jet Li style. Of course, the Wushu style or the traditional kung fu. So they wanted more of the traditional kung fu.
Mm-hmm.
And so they asked me to come in there and can you work with our people? I said, no problem. I said, how much training have they had? And none of them had any type of experience. So the first thing I do is I see what type of sports they play, what type of movements they do. You know, if they play tennis, football, baseball, basketball, whatever, I can take the movements that they know and use it and convert it into martial arts. So that's how I got Kevin, because he was a football player.
Mm-hmm.
So he knew how to dive and roll, so I show him certain things. And then, you know, a lot of them play tennis, so I said when you move the sword or the staff, it's just like this. You're going forehand, backhand, side slashes, overhead. And so it was easy for them to understand because they had a concept. I had a concept for them to understand. So Carrie can talk a little bit on that too, but she worked with Lucy, helped her with the stretching and different things like that.
Yeah, one thing people don't realize how really talented actors are. They have to do everything, sing, dance, whatever the role calls for. And so they come in with a really open mind. So once Doug starts working with the weapons and movements, then usually what he'll do is he'll have me start working with them as far as stretching and, you know, flexibility, and I help with their kicks. You know,
mm-hmm.
So we kind of work hand in hand as a real good team there.
Awesome.
Very cool.
I have
awesome.
Cassidy.
Now, both of you have this laundry list of instructors that you've studied with, that, you know, a dozen or so instructors, you know, Cher Liu, R.P. Wong.
Right.
Did both of you take what you studied and put it within the White Lotus system, or did you, let's say, separate Wing Chun and teach Wing Chun out of the school as well?
No, basically because Doug had all the different teachers teaching him the different styles. What I tell the students is you're getting the gravy on a silver platter. All the years of hard work, you know, Sifu Doug's gone through, and he's taken pretty much the best of each of those styles and that's what you're getting. And he incorporates that all into the White Lotus system. So then, because if you look at the art of Kung Fu, any particular style could take you 10, 15 years before you become really proficient at it.
Mm-hmm.
And most practitioners aren't going to have time to spend 10 or 15 years in this style and then go another 10 or 15 years in this style. So this way, the White Lotus system incorporates all of the systems.
Because Sifu Kerry, I noticed you also studied Aikido as well. Is that a part of the curriculum as well as the Wing Chun trapping? So you just incorporate everything?
Yes. Actually, a lot of the different Aikido techniques will incorporate those when we're teaching, like some of the self-defense classes. One of our assistant instructors is a black belt in Aikido as well. And so when we're teaching different fighting aspects, we will, after we get through the punches and all of the hard techniques, then we'll tell them there's going to come a time when you're not going to be able to just fisticuff somebody. You're going to have to apply a different technique. And then that's when the Aikido techniques will come into play.
Oh, very cool. Because I noticed, back in the day, you used to be able to duke it out with somebody and just play with them a little bit. But as you start getting older, you know, I'm almost 50, you don't play that much anymore because your body's all broken up for years, you know?
You're right.
Everything now is more serious, you know, as we get older, you know, it's to the point. You know, there's no playing around anymore.
Oh, isn't that the truth? Well, I'll ask both of you, going to Sifu Doug first, what was your biggest influence in the martial art growing up?
Biggest influence? You mean person-wise?
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to think. I guess it would have to be my dad, really. He's the one that really got me interested in the martial arts because of... I guess my grandfather was a master in the Kung Fu art, and my dad was the only one in the family of 11 brothers that did not learn the martial arts. He learned the more of the healing, the aspect, the medicine, the what's called common remedies, you know. So he taught me a lot of different things like that. But he used to take me over to my uncle's house, and that's where I got introduced into some of the Kung Fu. But he lived so far away, I was not something that we could do all the time, because we had our own grocery store, so we were working 7 days a week. But that perked my mind into it. And after that, when I got a chance to learn under Grandmaster Art Wong, then I went full force into Kung Fu, because I knew they had so much more to offer than all the other arts. You know, I spent so many years doing all the different arts. I also went judo, like I said before, but also deal with Aikido and everything else. But the Chinese art had a lot more techniques that could cover more ways of fighting. So that's what I really liked about it. But Art Wong was the main man that gave me a lot of different influence. But my main fighting teacher was a different guy, was Tiny Lafitte. And he was, we call him Tiny, he was 6'4", you know, 350 pounds, could move like lightning and knock you out in a second. It'd be no problem. But his main art was, at the time we were under the Lima Lama organization.
Oh,
so,
cool.
But he was also one of the students of Grandmaster Art Wong. But he was teaching more of the Kung Fu part of it. Was he himself and Tino Tulasega put together the Lima Lama art. So they were cousins. And so through him, he's my most influential person to do realistic fighting. He taught me different ways of understanding different fighting styles by looking at different styles, how they approach, you know, closing the gap, how to react to it. And a lot of the techniques he said, now you start, when you see the technique that goes forward, the real self-defense technique is going backwards, so you have to learn to do everything. So we have to do everything going forward, but we also have to reverse all the movements going backwards.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a little different concept. And, you know, sometimes we're sitting in the chair, he had us laying on the ground, had to stand, you know, we had to do it from every position possible.
So that was it.
Wow.
That's awesome.
So you can tell our students.
Our students' training is
boring.
Well, one of my first JKD instructors, we were shooting some videos at IKF, and you guys were on the other side of the wall. And I don't know how I remember stuff like this. My wife says I'm a freak. But you guys were talking, and my instructor said, would you guys shut up? We're trying to film here. And I'm thinking, do you know who you're talking to?
Oh, no.
Well, those are some thin walls over there, that's why.
Oh, they were. And then we were at the end of a runway, so every 3 minutes we had to stop filming.
Right, that's it. I remember that, doing some of the videos and stuff. We had to stop because the sound was so loud. You couldn't do anything. So,
right.
Yeah, I remember those days.
So, Sifu, Terry, same question to you. What is your biggest influence growing up?
Wow. I have to say, my cousin is the one that actually introduced me to karate. And if it really wasn't for him doing that, I probably wouldn't be where I was today. I had, you know, like I said, I danced for a number of years and then quit and was just bored looking for something. And he had gotten his brown belt and he had come over to visit me and he says, I think I found something you would really like. I think you'd be really good at it. He said, you know, you're dancing. We do these, like these movements, they call them katas, but it'd be like a dance for you. And he knew I was a little on the aggressive side, so he figured sparring would kind of enlighten me. So he got me started. Then after that, like I say, I'm from Idaho. There's not a lot of martial arts there. Bruce Lee, you know, there weren't any women that I was reading about, but I, you know, read a lot about this Bruce Lee guy, and I must have seen Enter the Dragon about 10 times. Every matinee, every evening show we could go to, there'd be about four or five of us that would just go and sit and dissect. And then after getting, you know, really heavy in that into the arts, I guess every teacher that I was able to study a certain system, they would be ones that really influenced me, like Master Yu with the internal, obviously Doug with the Kung Fu.
Mm-hmm. Well, I find it interesting, Steve and Terry, and I wanted to ask you this. Coming from Idaho, there's not just a non-martial arts presence. I'm sure there's not a real huge Asian presence either.
Yeah,
is that
politically
correct?
People always look at me and they go, a Japanese from Idaho?
Right. Did you, because of your ethnicity, and this may cause a lot of upset people, did you run into any barriers in Idaho?
You know, I grew up in a time where it wasn't that bad. However,
okay.
With my parents, it was a whole different story because they grew up during the time of the war and the internment camps. But because the farms that they were raised on were far enough inland, they weren't uprooted. However, they were, as my mom always would relate to me, she was a teenager, and the homes were searched by armed American soldiers. You know, my uncle served in the 442nd, which is the most decorated unit in the war.
Right, you know, and I always found that funny that the most decorated unit in World War II was Japanese.
Isn't it?
Uh-huh.
And most of their families uh-huh. were sitting in camps all around the West Coast. So, you know, so I was pretty lucky. I can count on my hand the amount of Asians, and basically there were only two Chinese and the rest of us were Japanese. And those of us Japanese students were pretty much related through marriage. And if we weren't related through marriage, then our relatives, being parents and grandparents, were very, very close. So, it was very different for me to come to L.A. and all of a sudden I didn't stick out like a sore thumb. I feel right in.
I can imagine that.
Yeah.
Because you know, we're a melting pot here. We've got, I mean, back in the day when I'm sure Steve, Doug, and you started, we moved to L.A., it wasn't as populated with martial arts schools as it is today. I bet we have 20, 25 right here in Burbank.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, I was born and raised in L.A., so I never left.
Right, right.
But, when I was going to college time, that's when I met a lot of people. We got a group of about 40 to 50 people from different martial artists, and that's where we practiced and saw if our techniques worked from our system. I mean, we all did unfriendly type of techniques-wise, you know, fighting and everything else. We came from all different backgrounds, karate, judo, karate, you know, kung fu, various styles. We had people from Hong Kong coming over, and we had some really good people. I mean, he defeated one of the fencing coach, Olympic fencing coach, and he just got kung fu from Hong Kong. And there were so many different talented people when I was working with them. And some of them were some of the top students of the founders of the system, the people that brought them over, like C.O. Cho, Bong Su Han, Nishiyama, Oyama, you know, all these different people that had a lot of people that were students. And we just got together, and that's how I developed my fighting samples. I was learning. I saw some of the kung fu technique didn't work. It was terrible, you know. And we actually enjoy working together, and so myself and three of my other friends, we've been practicing together for almost 40 years, so that's the one that we form our what's called Silum Association. That's Carl Totten, myself, Tommy Chan, and Wilson Kwan. So we've been together for over 40 years training in various martial arts systems.
Wow.
Oh, wow, Jesus, how cool is that? That's awesome.
And they're only 45.
Right, right. Well, and Sifu, Doug, you grew up in a time where I look at it as you were very fortunate with the teachers you were able to study under that had long passed by now.
I was lucky because I got to, you know, at the right place at the right time, as they say, you know, so I met a lot of people. I knew a lot of the founders, like Tino Tulaseca of Lima Lama. You know, he's a very influential person to me. But my real teacher, again, was Tiny Lafitte. But, you know, he taught me many different things. And I used to hang out with Master Lee, Du Hurang Do's people. So, you know, and Jimmy H. Wu of the Sansu style. I mean, there are so many styles that I got involved with. That learned, you know, that I learned directly from the teachers themselves, the masters. So, you know, I was one of those easygoing guys. I had respect to everybody. It didn't matter what system, you know, and they, you know, felt open to me. So I learned quite a bit.
Very cool. Now,
very cool.
Growing up, both of you, in fact, Sifu Terry, have you noticed a watered-down aspect since you started at such a young age? Have you seen a watered down aspect to your arts that exist today?
I do. You know, back when I was, we were always telling the students, you know, back in the day, back when I trained, the training was so much harder. But I think what happens, and I find this when I started teaching, is as the generations have come along, life has become easier for them. Everything is done for them. The technology now isn't what we had, and so we would spend more time just physically outdoors and training, and when there was nothing to do, it was nothing to just go grab some friends and you would work out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if it's it gets watered down because the students coming in aren't able to grasp, and they're not physically as strong or want to become as physically strong as, let's say, in the 70s or 80s. So I think the students create a watered-down system because the instructors don't want to lose them.
Mm-hmm.
They want to keep them around. Because even at our studio, we've noticed the lack of strength in the students physically. You know, mentally they seem okay. At times they're a little weak, but it's just physically they're not strong.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But I remember taking a seminar with, it was a Pooh Dow Spirit seminar up with, I can't remember the gentleman's name, but Brendan Lai sponsored it. And all of us were Caucasian, and we were I told you this story, people. We were all stretching, and the instructor bent right in half. I mean, he went right down to his knees. He looked back at us and just shook his head in disbelief. Because, see, I've seen you throw that leg straight up and almost knock yourself out by kicking yourself in the head. That's how straight up it went.
Well, not anymore.
Oh, she can still do it. She can still do it.
Yeah, I don't think I quite believe that.
Wow. Yeah, you know, I've noticed not in all schools, but I've noticed also that that some schools will cater to what the demographics are looking for, and you know, from a attendance standpoint, that could be a good thing. But if it's, you know, proliferating the art and preserving the art, then it could be a bad thing. You know, to water it down, and yeah, sometimes I get sad when I see that happening.
Yeah, the quality.
Absolutely.
You know.
Go ahead, Bob.
Because you know, and Sifu Carey knows that the people that keep the doors open are the kids.
Uh huh.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's not so much the older adults, because you know, if they start as a kid, they become a teenager, and they start getting interested in the opposite sex, or they start getting interested in cars, and you may lose them because of schoolwork and certain things, and you might lose your population when they get older.
Right.
Right.
You know, I mean, Travis is not the rule, he's the exception.
Well, there was a period of time where he got to a point, he just was physically tired from training and competition. So he did take a little bit of time off during high school, and it was a little hard to bite, but, you know, we had to, or we would lose him for good.
Uh-huh.
And then as soon as he got to college, he just got this spark all over again. And that's basically where he started doing all this parkour and tricking, was while he was at college.
Oh, very cool, because I did see that video that... Doug posted today. That was an amazing video.
That's amazing.
So when he was three?
No, this is the new one.
His new reel.
His new stunt reel.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. And I hope our listeners watch that, because you know, parkour, free running, and all that, that's gotten very popular.
It's
huge.
The martial art tricking is like unbelievable.
Yeah, crazy stuff. I mean, it's you know, it makes me wish I was like, you know, 25 years younger.
That's what I keep saying. It's like, it's amazing what these guys can make the human body do. But, you know, the nice thing is they do acknowledge that it all comes from their martial art training.
Cool.
Very cool. Now, did either of you do any movie work? Because I knew Sifu Doug, your brother did a little bit, you know, growing up, maybe late 60s, early 70s. Did either of you do any movie work as well?
I was on the original Kung Fu movie of the week. I was David Carradine's first instructor. So I started that back in 1971, and I've been in the industry since, you know, doing different things, either on movies or TV shows or just training behind the background scenes. And did that, and I... right now, in fact, I'll let Carrie tell about her latest practice coming up.
Well, let's see.
With Travis.
Yeah. My first taste of working in film industry was I did a little fight scene with Angelina Jolie when she was at the ripe age of 17.
Her first movie.
Her very first movie, kind of a B-rated, called Glass Shadow. I did a stunt scene with her there. And then after that, I just kind of laid low and just helped Doug train these people. But 2 years ago, I got the chance to work on the upcoming movie G.I. Joe 2, The Retaliation. the director.
Oh, isn't Travis in that as well?
Travis is in it as well. In fact, the trailer that's being shown right now in the theaters, he is one of the Red Ninjas. And so that was pretty neat because the director, John Chu, who Travis knew from the LXD series that he's in, happened to call Travis and ask him, you know, is your mom still into movies or anything? You know, would she want to do anything? And Travis goes, oh, I'm sure she would. And he had seen our studio. He had seen me teaching a couple classes, and he liked the movement. So Travis one evening came to the studio, and we threw together a real quick video of me doing weapons and fighting and forms and kicking and anything we could think of. And the part was written for a male, and John said, I've got some video I want you to look at, and I really think that I want a woman to play this part, and convinced the producers. And they hired me, and I got to go to New Orleans at the same time Travis was filming, in fact. So I got to visit his set and then did my thing. I was just there for a week, but it'll be coming out in March.
Very
cool.
Oh,
wow. Very cool.
Very, hey,
I'm excited.
That's cool. Hey, Sifu Bob, it looks like we have another caller. Let's take it.
Cool.
All right. Hi, caller. Thanks for calling Dynamic Dojo. Who's this?
This is Travis Wong.
Oh, no. Travis Wong.
Oh, your ears were burning, weren't they?
Oh,
no, I was about you.
Totally. No, I've been listening to the show. I just wanted to come on and say hi and thank you guys for having my parents on. I know they always watch everything I'm a part of, so I just want to let them know I was listening. So.
Awesome.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Good.
All right. Good. Yeah. Yeah. Enjoy your action reel. So you know, put it out on the net there. So it's great.
Yeah, that was a pretty cool reel. Can I say kick ass on air? Yeah, that's kick ass.
Yeah, you. You just did.
I think you can.
I just did. Yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, that's
well, thank
awesome.
You guys very much. Yeah, I just wanted to come on and just say thanks for having my parents on. It's really cool to let them talk about their history right now. We have a new gym now where they teach out of, and we really focus on a lot of the new age arts. And it's really, really cool to see them being so open to allowing us to do so. And even though our mainstay is a lot of the new acrobatics and stuff, most of the people are still intrigued by watching my parents there every day. So,
uh-huh.
Yeah, hopefully we can continue to keep things alive even as generations change. And, you know, I'm glad that they're having the opportunity right now to speak and reach out to people and hear their story. So. Really cool.
Awesome.
Wow, that's great, Travis.
Cool. Thanks for calling.
No problem. We'll see you guys sometime soon. Thanks for having him on.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Awesome.
Oh, that is so cool.
That is awesome.
What a martial artist, man.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Awesome.
So, yeah, I don't know if Carrie told you how young we started our kids or not. I'll let her tell the story about that.
Well, When I found out I was pregnant with Travis, I was really concerned about, was I going to be able to train? What could I do, what I couldn't do? And it just so happened I had a Chinese OBGYN. And he was really young. I think he was like 35 or something. And he says to me, he goes, you know, because you've been doing this all your life, there's really nothing you need to stop doing. He said, you just need to listen to your body, which I'm sure you're well aware of doing. And, you know, he gave me specifics. Stop every 20 minutes, check your heart rate, don't let your temperature get really hot. I don't want you, you know, pouring sweat. And you got to protect the baby. Don't get hit, don't get kicked, so forth. And so I did really well, and then after he was born, then it was just like, great, you know, now what can we do with him? Can we stretch him, whatever? And our pediatrician was a martial artist. It's strange how that all happened. And he had said to me, he said, you can do anything, just you don't want to overstretch them, and we'll check, you know, every month when we do the checkups, I'll check his hips, make sure everything is growing the way it should be. And then as about 6 months old, Doug and I would take two Chinese staff, and Doug would sit on one end, I'd sit on the other. And we would have, we started with Travis sitting down with both hands on the staff, and we would just tell him to stand up, sit down. And, of course, he really didn't understand, so with him holding on to him, we'd lift the staff and get him to stand and then would lower the staff and he would sit down. Then after, you know, within a month, he was standing and sitting and standing and sitting at will, so we would just hold the staff. Pretty soon, he was figuring out he could move his hands and start to walk. So by 10 months, he was walking just strong as can be.
Wow.
And then he would walk the length of the staff, and then we taught him how to turn around and walk back, and we did all kind of circling exercises for his arms, and then I was constantly stretching him. I'd lay him in my lap and stretch his legs, and then when he was probably one or so, we would actually just stand him up and take his leg and stretch it to his forehead and so forth. We just did that with all our kids. Our girls walked at 9 months doing these kind of exercises.
Wow. Now, how many children do you have?
We have three. I have two daughters as well as Travis.
Now, did your daughters follow in your footsteps as well?
They both did martial arts. In fact, my second daughter, Tia, helped teach our children's program for a number of years, and then she slowly just, you know, as she got through high school, she got into basketball and so forth, and then the youngest one did the same thing, helped instruct with the children's class. Then when she got to high school, she got involved in basketball, and she started training parkour with a few of the guys that Travis had at the gym. They haven't, you know, it's always going to be in their heart. Tia was a great fighter. She wasn't really much at forms. Her and Travis used to compete together when they were younger doing a two-man fighting set. And Cassidy competed. So they always have it there. And even when they come back to the studio, you know, they're part of the family, so it's always going to be part of them. Training-wise, I can't say that they're always training. So.
Now, did they ever kumite together opposite each other?
Well, at the house, yeah.
Oh, that must have been some nasty knockdown drag-out.
No, they were pretty good. But, yeah, Travis and Tia did a two-man fighting set that they were winning tournaments right and left. In fact, at Dotmo's tournament in San Francisco, they won the 17 and under division with their set.
Cool.
And I think Travis was only 12.
Yep.
And Tia was 9.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah, we started Travis at 6 months old, and we started the daughters even younger. We started Tia at 3 months and Cassidy at 2 months old. Doing different exercises, Chinese exercise to get them the coordination. And we, you know, we have a picture of Travis. He's got a baby bottle in one hand, sucking on that, and spinning a staff in the other hand.
That's awesome. You know, I'm trolling the internet right now trying to find that.
I mean, today, by today's standards, it was probably abuse, but to us, it was just, you know, it's just a way of their life. That was just the way it was going to be. But, you know, it's amazing with children, you know, their minds are so open. We had a broken staff that we cut, and we gave it to Travis because he was always, like, picking things up. So we gave him this little staff, and one night we were doing a weapons class, and myself and one of the instructors look over, and he's standing in the corner copying, like spinning a figure eight. I mean, that takes months for our adults to do.
Yeah.
And he was just, like, watching and following. So...
That's awesome.
We got some, one of my students from Tijuana, he just posted some of the stuff where Travis is 3 years old. He's up there doing the staff set, spinning it, and doing everything else with it, you know, doing some techniques. In fact, he competed when he was 3 years old for his first tournament and against the 7-year-olds and took second place.
So, you know, he was just a natural since the time he was picked up a weapon.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
That's so cool.
That is. Looks like we have another caller, but let's see if they actually want to talk. This is area code 206. Welcome to the Dynamic Dojo. I guess not. I guess area code 206 does not want to talk. So just to remind our listeners of our phone number, 347-677-0699. If you have any questions, please press 1 when prompted, and you can do that at any time while you're listening to the show. Otherwise, I'm just going to assume that you're listening to the show. So please make sure that you press 1 if you want to talk to Sifu Doug Wong or Sifu Carrie Wong. Pretty cool. Awesome. So why don't we do this really, really quick so that way our guests can take a little break. Let's go ahead and take a short 4-minute break so everyone can go get a drink of water, use the facilities, what have you. And we will be back in about 4 minutes. So our special guests today are Doug and Carrie Wong of the White Lotus Kung Fu Studio. Hang on, and we'll be right back after 4 minutes, and we're going to have some more interview with Doug and Carrie Wong. We'll be right back.
All right.
See ya.
Does that last longer?
Maybe. right, and we are back. This is the Dynamic Dojo Show with Masters Doug Wong and Kerry Wong. And Master Doug, I understand that your phone's dying.
Yep, I was just going to ask if you saw that.
So what I'll do, how about, let's do this. How about we hang up on this phone, and what I'll do is I'll call each of you on those respective numbers.
Okay.
But I do
okay,
that.
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay, so let's do that in a second. So we'll hang up this phone. All righty.
Okay.
And now I'm going to call Carrie's cell phone. Let's see if I... Thank goodness I had the Facebook window up.
Yeah, no kidding, because I was going to ask you if you saw what they just said.
I hope I dialed that right. Let's see here.
Hi, this is Carrie.
Yay, all right. Let's try Doug's phone now. Dun, dun, dun.
Technology these days.
I know. It's kind of cool. And we're dialing.
Oh, God, tell him to pick up the phone. Oh, okay.
Or he's just going to kill him. Pick it up.
Awesome. All right. So we are now really back with Masters Douglas and Kerry Wong. Now we're on our cell phones. That's awesome. All right. I lost my notes as far as what I was going to ask next. But that's okay. Let's talk a little bit about, this is a question for Sifu Doug. Let's talk a little bit about your publications. Now, if I remember correctly, you've got several books out. In fact, the one that I remember the most is Kung Fu, The Way of Life. I remember having that in my collection years and years ago, and I'm pretty sure it's still in my, still in a box somewhere, but I do know I have it. And, and my question is just like, you know, many martial artists will go through their career and their training without writing down their journey or writing a book. And I just want to know what made you have the desire to write.
Yeah, one day I just sat there and I said, let me write an instruction book for my students. And that's how it got started.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, Kung Fu, The Way of Life, and Shaolin Fighting Theories and Concept was originally one book, but the publisher decided to divide it into two titles so they can make more money. And that's how that came about. But when I showed the book to my teacher, Art Wong, he said, this is not complete. Your picture's not in one of these books. How come? And I never even noticed that was... They subdivided it. They took all my picture out of one book and stuck it just in the one. And the other one didn't have my picture at all except on the cover.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So sometimes it didn't even make sense because, you know, they subdivided the topics. And so it didn't flow like the way I had it. As one book, it flowed all the way through. So that's how I did that. And then when I started learning Wing Chun, then they started saying, well, why don't we do something on Wing Chun? And I kept sitting there. I said, there's so many Wing Chun books out there. Everybody did the first set, but nobody did the second set, you know. So that's what I did on the book, Deceptive Hand of Wing Chun. So I did the second set. And so I was the first one acknowledged by the Wing Chun world. They have it in history that I wrote the first book on the second set. So that's a little trippy question there you can put.
Awesome.
And, yeah, and then my other book was, my last one I wrote was Kung Fu, The Endless Journey, and I had Muhammad Ali write the foreword to that. So you check out the front of the book. He did that. We at one time I was work with a bunch of his boxers and then train him into trapping hands, you know, and working some of his heavyweights. And I was just taking them all over the place, just knocking them all over the place, and just using just trapping technique, leg trapping, and everything else. So that's an experience in itself. That was great, though.
Very cool. Now, did you just find that going into videos was the logical next step, or did
I did 4 videos after that in 1992. Those books were back in the 75 when I wrote the first one, and the last one was 1987. Then after that, I went into we did 4 DVDs. Carrie did one also on the basic training. And also, Carrie did a book herself. And, not too many people know about it. I'll let her tell you about it and her little venture that she had on national TV on Our Magazine. And, go ahead, Carrie.
Okay. I had the opportunity to, I was approached by Unique Publications to do some kind of a female fitness book or something that would be different. So I was working with this writer, Sandra Siegel, at the time, and she was taking privates from me. And so we got to talking about how maybe we could take, like, the dynamic tension exercises and the stretching exercises that I was teaching her and then we teach at the studio. And so she helped. As a ghostwriter, she helped me put together that book. It's called Body Toning, A New Direction in Women's Health.
Cool.
And so it's based on, you know, Kung Fu basics. And then later on, I did a video, Martial Art Fundamentals, which is basically the first level of the White Lotus System. So it was a way for us to convey to people what Kung Fu, what the White Lotus System was about, and still our own students would be able to follow that as well through their first level of training.
Mhm. Awesome.
Yep. She was also a guest host on Our Magazine with Gary Collins, and so they did a 15-minute thing on the show there. I mean, I just happened to see with my student just converting all my VHS into DVD, and that's one he gave me yesterday, so I just happened to look at it. So reminded me of her on there, you know, embarrassing the hell out of him. He couldn't do a lot of the stretching and different things with the stick and leg stretching, and then she was doing different exercises on our training cans, you know, the one she talked about before, the concrete cans. And, you know, so we do stretching, we do push-up off there, we do a horse sets, we do all kinds of things that's just simulated the plum flower pose, you know, like you always see in the Chinese movie, they're jumping on the poles and doing the different training on there. So since we don't have poles we can put in the ground, I developed training cans and put them in different patterns, and that's what we used to work with. So she took a couple of those to the show, and that was embarrassing there on national TV.
Not on purpose now.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Let's go ahead and take another call. Why not? Area code 206. Welcome to the Dynamic Dojo.
Thank you. Hi, this is Bobby Edmonds. I have a question about the White Lotus System that Master Wong has founded, I guess, or sort of, is it founded or reinvented, for one?
Well, created it's updated. It's done a little bit different.
Okay.
It's all my creation of all the different styles that I was exposed to.
Well, that's what I was wondering, because I'm a longtime Wing Chun practitioner, and I started in the 80s, and like everybody who, you know, back in those days before YouTube and videos and whatnot came out, anybody who fell in love with the martial art and went through the romance period, they collected every little bit of written or videoed material they could possibly find and get everybody's little, you know, in style version of it. And I still have my Deceptive Hands of Wing Chun book.
Right.
And what I was wondering, which I love, by the way, is that I was like, you know, back in the days there was nothing else written, so this was like the Bible for me for a long time.
Yes.
But I was wondering how much, if you still, because I was looking on your website and I see that you have your White Lotus System, and I was wondering if you still teach or practice Wing Chun at all, if you've integrated much of it into the system that you currently have devised and are teaching now.
Okay, I don't teach the Wing Chun per se like I used to.
because of my system that I practiced. I also learned another style was called Mokga. And
yes.
That's one of the five family, five-fisted system. And that's what that is sort of like, don't want to say too much about it, but is like the counter to the Wing Chun system. So I practice the two together. So where the Wing Chun is more linear-type motion, the Mokga is the circular motion. So I worked a lot with who I studied my Wing Chun, and it was Walter Wong. He was my instructor, and I started exchanging techniques with him because I wanted to learn the Wing Chun. I saw the sticky hand, heard about all this stuff, because Bruce Lee did it back in the days and so forth. And so that's why I started exchanging him, my Mokga to his Wing Chun. And it was a good combination of putting it together. So that's what I mainly practice. A lot of my students now, even in Tijuana and San Diego and all this stuff, they are strictly Wing Chun. It's nothing to me. But, you know, so now I'm converting them slowly into the White Lotus, and that's why I'm going to Mexico now, teach them the other aspect, you know, because I didn't strictly stick with the Wing Chun. In fact, I just got the correspondent today from Master Kwok from UK, Samuel Kwok. He's one of the top Wing Chun man. Yeah, so he contacted me today. We saw my son's demo reel, and he said, congratulations. And we start going back and forth on Facebook, and, you know, we talked about each other during the Wing Chun system, how we introduce it to different people around the world. So, you know, I still have a lot of respect, a lot of contact with all the Wing Chun instructor, William Chung is a good friend of mine. Lao King is a good friend of mine. I mean, I know all these guys, Randy Williams, everybody, you know. But, you know, I didn't stick strictly with the Wing Chun. I mean, I respect the art, but I also have my other art that I practice.
Well, if you don't mind me asking you, do you have any plans to release the other art or show the other art that's more circular? Because I've always thought, personally, the biggest drawback of Wing Chun, one of them, is that it is entirely too linear focused. And when I started doing pinch-out silhouette in Kali, the first thing that I said was, this is exactly what Wing Chun is missing, the ability to move to the side or go around to the back or change angles or whatever.
Right. Definitely. Now you know what I'm talking about. Yes, with different art, different aspects, that gives a completion to your art. It's not just linear, but circular. You combine the two. Then you have a strong art now. So I do have DVDs, VHS out. But because the company went out of business, it was never converted to DVD. I have one DVD that's on there. You might, you know, go check like Amazon.com. I think it's still available there. And it has part of my White Lotus system on there. And it talks about the circular motions and so forth and some of the techniques that I use. So there are those there. And I'm trying to right now convert some of my VHS into DVD, but I'm bootlegging them. But not really bootlegging, but the company no longer exists, so I can't legally do that. So be on the lookout, or check my website or Facebook. Contact me on Facebook, and whenever I get them available, I'll let you know.
Okay, thank you very much, Sifu. I appreciate
no problem. All right, nice talking to you. Take care.
You too as well.
Awesome. Thanks for calling, Bobby. All right.
Yeah.
Well, it appears we've only got about 15 minutes left to the show. So I'd like to ask about the new location for your studio. I hear you guys just moved the studio.
Well, we moved in May. So.
Oh, okay. I guess that's still just moved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, our studio is actually located inside JAM. Joining All Movement is a new facility that Travis and two of his partners opened.
Mm-hmm.
And when we had White Lotus Martial Arts Center open for 3 years, and it was an idea that Travis had come to me at about March or April of his senior year in college.
Uh-huh.
And he said, you know, Mom, what do you think about like expanding the studio? And I said, I've always wanted to, but it's hard to find a location and make it work. And, you know, it's just a lot of work. And he says, well, I've got some ideas. I'd like to find a bigger place, and I want to start teaching some parkour and tricking. And so He was instrumental in finding a location, and we opened it. And after 3 years, we pretty much outgrew the facility. And so Travis, at that point, wanted to find a bigger place, uh-huh. and which he did. And then he said, would you be willing, would you want to move the Kung Fu school and use the facility? And I said, absolutely. Because we had made such good friends with all the guys doing parkour and the tricking, and it really was kind of like a family atmosphere. And a lot of our Kung Fu students have crossed over. They're taking the other classes. So uh-huh. I hated to have Travis open the facility and then have my Kung Fu students having to, like, drive, you know, two or three different locations. And so it worked out really well. So mm-hmm. we have bag facilities, plus we have the rest of the facility is open, so that at any time, like my Tai Chi class, I use his dance studio to do that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then we have about 2,000 square foot of like a rubberized floor, and that's where we do the Kung Fu with, you know, a whole wall of mirrors. You can go on that website, Joining All Movement, and you can see what the facility looks like.
Yeah, I'm just on it right now, and this is huge.
It is. It's almost 10,000 square feet.
Yeah, this place is huge. So for our listeners out there, joiningallmovement.com, incredible facility, 42 by 42 Palmer spring floor.
Yeah, it's 50 a regulation
by 40.
Spring floor.
Yeah, high-density rubber training floor, 30 by 20 all-purpose wooden training floor, and I gather that's the dance studio.
Uh-huh.
And then a 22-foot-long foam pit. This is like any acrobat's dream.
It is.
Yeah.
It is great. What they did was they designed it so there's a trampoline on one end, and then on the other end is just a regular flat platform with the foam pit in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow.
However they want to practice. They want to flip off the tramp into the foam pit or just flip, you know, from ground into the foam pit. And then upstairs is a whole training facility with treadmills and some spinning bike and kettlebells and hand weights.
Oh, wow. This is awesome. So,
awesome.
Yeah, listeners, check it out. JoiningAllMovement.com. That's where their new facility is. We have another caller. This is area code 818. Last four numbers, 4121. Welcome to Dynamic Dojo.
Hello.
Oh, hello. One of these days, I'm going to remember your phone number. You know how it is when you look at the board and you just see numbers. I don't know. It's the digital age. I don't know anyone's number anymore.
it's actually not Travis anymore. It's Anise. My name is Anise, and
You got Travis's phone.
Oh, I thought you were somebody else. My bad. It's 667 number.
I was just calling to say hi to Mr. and Mrs. Wong, because they've been my parents for the past few years, and I just wanted to say hi. That's all.
Hey,
hi, Anise.
All right. Yeah, good to hear from you.
Yeah. No problem. I hope you guys are doing good, and you guys have been seeing some pretty awesome stuff this past few hours. So we're just listening. We're going to keep
Thank
on listening.
Thank you.
No problem.
Awesome.
See you guys soon.
Okay.
Well, thanks, Anise.
Thanks for calling.
Tell me your stuff you're doing, Anise.
Yeah.
Just to let you know, Anise is originally from France.
Uh-huh.
He is one of the most well-known trickers in the world. Him and Danny Graham. Danny Graham is from Florida. Anise moved out to L.A. And started in the industry. Stayed a few nights here at our place while he was looking to find a place of his own. He was in Tron. He is Tron.
Oh, wow.
And he's done all kinds of movies, television, commercials. So now these are the kind of young men that we've become acquainted with. And they're very respectful of the studio. And we've all just become really good friends. And these are the guys that I watch every night. Because when I get done teaching, I spend some time for myself just stretching, and I just watch these guys on the spring floor for an hour or so every night.
Awesome. That is so awesome. We have another caller. This is in same area code, 818. Last four numbers, 8373.
Hi, it's Cassidy, their daughter. I just wanted to say hi.
Hi, Cassidy.
Call us from Denver, Colorado.
Hi. My roommate wanted to say hi because I told her that you guys were on the radio.
Right.
Hi.
That's our youngest daughter from Denver, Colorado. She's going to school there now.
We awesome. Talked about
oh,
you, Cassidy.
Excellent.
Oh, goodness. Did you really?
Yeah, we heard
oh,
about
just
how you
a little. Told them
through,
that
like,
you know, you start training
here.
At 3 months and
yeah.
you walk at 9 months.
Oh, don't I feel special?
Real
That's
embarrassing
awesome,
stuff. They're about to pull out the photo album.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Okay. I just called in to say hello.
All right.
Awesome.
Study hard.
Okay. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye. That's awesome.
How cool is that? That's great.
I know. That's so, so cool.
Okay.
So.
One of our other daughters is going to call now. And we're missing one.
I know. All right, listening audience, we have about 10 minutes. Come on, call in. It's a party. 347-677-0699. We're on the air with Douglas and Carrie Wong. So... Wow, I can't get over how big that facility is. That's amazing.
Enormous.
Enormous. So are there any more local events other than in Mexico that we have going on over there at the White Lotus Studio?
We're looking at different areas in Mexico right now. They're talking about setting up something in Mexico City. And also into Cancun, so, you know,
wow.
All the tourist spots, so I'm ready. So my students are setting it up for me right now, so I want to check that out. And there's a possibility going to South America also, into Brazil, so we're negotiating things right now also. So, yeah, I'll be doing some traveling, hopefully, so very soon.
Very,
very
cool.
Now, see, for Doug, I know you're going to Hawaii. Is that martial arts related or is that vacation?
That's family related. My nephew's getting married, and so I have to attend. I'm also his godfather, so I'm just going there for a couple of quick days, and I got to come back because I got packed to go to Guadalajara a couple of days after that. So it's no long-term thing. So, yeah, it's more like a family, you know, it's short vacation away from work.
Awesome.
Oh, very cool.
Awesome. Well, looks like some of the public decided to take me up on the whole call-in thing.
All right.
We got everyone calling from the 818 area code. We got 818, last four digits, 7710. Did I get you already, caller? 7710.
No, this is my first call.
Hi, who's this?
My name's Solomon, and I'm just calling to say that the Wong family is the truth. I have been, you know, they have been so good to me, and they're such a great influence on the community, martial arts history, everything. Just amazing
Hi,
people.
Saul.
Across the board. Hey, what's going on? How are you, Master Wong? Good to see you.
All right.
Just
All
wanted
right,
to call and
on.
Give you guys some kind wishes.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Of course. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Let's go to area code 818-2645. Who's at 2645?
Yeah, hi. Hi, Super Carrie. Hi, Super Wong. This is Mike Suizo. I don't know if you remember me.
Hey,
hi, Mike.
How's it going?
How you guys doing? Yeah, so I've been listening in. I had a couple questions. I have an 18-month daughter now. Just, is there anything that I can start teaching her, both, I guess, mentally and physically, to improve her in the martial arts?
Yeah, there's different things you can do. I mean, that's kind of old to start her now.
I know.
Come on, man.
I'm behind.
Yeah, Carrie, you can talk about, you know, what type of physical thing, you know, and because once you start the physical thing, it's part of the mental training also. It's all part of it, you know, because the kids have to really learn once you're moving the arms, the legs, and they start sort of remembering this type of thing. I'll let Carrie explain more about that.
Sure. What you can do right now is start with her stretching.
Okay.
And make it a game. Like, You know, have her sit down on the floor with you and have her copy you, and then just physically take her legs, like stand her up and tell her you want to touch your forehead with her toe. And, you know, you'll be able to feel if there's any resistance, and just start doing stretching with her, as far as, you know, the mind. When she starts copying you, you're going to see that everything you do, she can do.
Okay, cool.
And, you know, you can do things with even balls. I used to do this in the kids' class, is take a ball and just say, catch this, you know, with your right hand. Since she's so young, you can just, you know, toss the ball back and forth and then have her drop kick it. So that she starts getting that coordination and understanding, you know, a kick.
Yeah.
You know, simple things like that. And, you know, you can even probably think of different drills you did, like in soccer or any of the sports that you played, that you can kind of, like, put to her level.
Okay.
Because at 18 months, she's a sponge. She is totally a sponge.
Kind of I've already taught her how to punch and everything. Grace isn't really too happy about that, but she like punches.
Oh, but tell Mom that she'll be able to defend herself when she needs to.
Yeah, well, that's what I want her to do. I actually want her to be, just like you, Steve McGarry, a strong, powerful woman. So I really miss you guys.
Oh, well, thank you.
I really want to be back in the studio as soon as I can. When's the grand opening for a jam? I remember Travis saying something about it being this month, but...
They were going to have one a few months ago, but I know they wanted to make sure everything was in the facility before they did it. So, you know, keep an eye on their website.
Okay.
And
then, I have been.
Give us a call at the studio. Yeah, give us a call at the studio, and we'll let you know. And bring your daughter by, and I'll sit down
will.
With you and give you some exercises.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate that.
All right, Mike, you take care.
You guys have a good night. Thanks again.
Bye, Mike.
Bye.
Thanks for calling, Mike. Very cool.
Yeah, that's one of our old students.
Right on. Yay. Well, you know, since we're running out of time, the last question that I'd like to pose to both of you is, if you only had 3 minutes to explain to a student the best way to attain their goal in martial arts, what would you tell them? So we'll start with Sifu Douglas.
Put me on the spot.
He's the master.
Yeah, he's the master. And besides, it gives Carrie time to think.
It takes a lifetime to learn is what I'm going to tell right off. It's just that the main thing usually for any martial art, I tell them, you have to visit and check out what interests you. You know, what type of style you want to take. Is it a kicking style, a hand type of style, a throwing style, a grappling style? You know, it's just something that they have to first understand about the martial arts. That's what I did. I started enjoying all of it. You know, I found a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I said, I want to learn it all. So there's always that in my mind. Even now, I still consider myself a beginner, but if there's something out there I can learn, I'm going to learn it. So there's no doubt about that. I'll turn on to Carrie now. Pass it off.
What would you tell a student in 3 minutes, if you only had 3 minutes to pass on big words of wisdom, what would you tell a student about how to attain their goals in martial arts?
Well, I can probably do less than 3 minutes. We have a motto. Well, I say that because we have a motto at our system, and it's something that at the end of every children's class, I have them repeat. And it's mind, body, spirit. Let the mind guide you, the spirit drive you, and the body protect you.
Awesome.
And
wow.
I think even from the young kids, and these are kids 6 to 12, they totally understand that, you know, whatever we teach them mentally, you know, they'll grasp. Spiritually, they know that it's that drive inside that's going to get them where they're, you know, where they want to go, what their goals are, and that what we teach them is out there to protect them, not to be picking fights, but to protect them, so... I mean, I think that's a motto that Doug had at the studio. And everybody that reads it is, you know, really impressed with it.
Yeah, I did a good job, didn't I?
That is a wonderful, wonderful motto. And it's so deep, but at the same time, you know, simple enough for a child.
It's, exactly.
That is so awesome. That is, and you're right, that took less than 3 minutes. That was 30 seconds of incredible wisdom for anybody's lifetime of martial arts. That's so great. Well, unfortunately, we're getting down to the wire. And me and Robert just want to thank you both from the bottom of our hearts for joining us tonight. We had a wonderful time with you both.
Absolutely. I have one thing to say. You know, it's really funny, Sifu, that, you know, we kept, every time we asked a question, we always referred to Sifu Doug first.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a Chinese restaurant with my kids,
uh-huh.
and they learned the respect. The waitress came over with the dish and said, Papa first. So I always referred to Doug first because he's Papa.
Yeah.
I do have one question, though.
That's right.
How long have you studied the martial arts, each of you?
Mine is, let me see, I just turned 64, yeah, the 54 years.
Wow.
Wow.
I started when I was fucking visible.
Let's see, we'll be going on 39 years.
Wow.
Wow.
That's awesome.
It doesn't seem like that long at all.
That's so awesome. I'm trying to do the math in my head, too. I'm like, I can't do it in my head. But it never does seem that long.
No, it doesn't. It really went by fast.
Yeah, all the masters that I've spoke to that say, yeah, you know, I remember, like, it was yesterday, you know, that kind of thing. And it is. It really does feel like yesterday. It's very cool. Thank you so much again for joining us.
Well, we really appreciate the opportunity of coming on and letting us share everything with you guys.
Oh, it was wonderful.
We enjoyed it. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
We enjoyed it. And maybe in the future we'll try to have you on again.
Yep, no problem. That'd be fine. And maybe we'll get Travis on with us next time, too.
You know, I think that would be great, too, because we really want to draw in some of the younger crowd also. And we do have... You know, we do have the younger crowd listening to us as well, but, you know, we're trying to open up this show so it's not just martial arts. So that way it's anything movement, motivational, martial,
right.
Any good for you type thing. So
they've got it
a
jam.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, you know, I think Sifu Bob, we should get a hold of Travis one of these days. I think that would be great.
Yeah, definitely. Travis, if you're still listening, they're asking me to come on the show.
Yeah, so we'll look you up there, Travis. Thank you again, Sifu.
Okay, good night.
Good night. And join us next week as we have our forum discussion, martial arts from a beginner's perspective. Now, next week is going to be our Sunday brunch show. So we'll be on at 11 a.m. And we'll have a special guest host, Patricia C. Smith, will be joining us and helping us with the discussion of martial arts from a beginner's perspective. So if you're a beginner in martial arts or have under a year experience, give us a call. Let us know what your views are. And especially if you're a teacher, please call in because we want to get your views on what you feel beginners are looking for in comparison to what beginners are really feeling.
Hello.
So that'll be next week. All right. We will talk to everyone next week. And thanks again to Sifu Doug and Sifu Carrie, and special shout out to Sifu Bob, who's always, always a great co-host.
Hey,
you there, Bob?
I'm there.
I thought you left. And
no,
always a great
I wouldn't
co-host.
Hear you.
And he's gone. So, all right, listeners, we'll talk to y'all next week. We'll talk to y'all later. Bye bye.